You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody in the Radio Rehab audience. Welcome back to our Radio Rehab show this Saturday, where we try to address issues that are affecting the community that we love, especially around drugs and alcohol and other addictive disorders. So today, I have an exciting guest, somebody that I've watched all my life. Her father was instrumental in helping me with legal issues, social issues, and spiritual issues way back when I first got clean and sober. And Gail Gerling Pettinga has always been one of those forces in our community that quietly contributes her authenticity, she contributes her money, she contributes her time to helping our community and the people we love stay safe and sane and sober. So I'm very excited to introduce you to Gail today, who is just an awesome force for good in our community, and I know we will enjoy getting to know her and hearing some of her ideas and the things that have shaped her in her life. Gail, thank you so much for coming.
Well, Lisa, thank you for inviting me, and with that wonderful introduction, I'm going to have to keep striving for the rest of my life to live up to the ideal you just set
forth. Well, it comes so natural for you, though.
Thank you.
So you were born and raised in Evansville and became an attorney and now own Gerling Law, and you're still with that same hot man.
Yes,
for 25 years.
25 years, my husband Mark Pettinga, and
yes.
I always joke, I say I'm the only old thing he keeps around.
Oh, so. Barbie and Ken, we used to refer to you two. So what shaped you? You grew up here.
I did. I grew up here, and I actually started at Washington Grade School. When it was just a grade school, and I went to Harper, went there from first through eighth grade and graduated from Harper when it was also still an elementary school.
Oh, wow. Still at the same
place?
Yeah,
before we had in the same place. And I had the opportunity to go back and visit, and I was so surprised at how small the cafeteria was when I was an adult, because when I was there as a child,
so big.
It sure seemed like a big place. and then I went on to Evansville Day School. And graduated from Evansville Day School and moved on to college. I went to college on the East Coast at an all-women's college called Smith. And then came back to Indiana to go to law school.
So you always knew you wanted to be a lawyer?
But pretty much. Of course, my father's a lawyer, and he... I don't know if he planned it, but he definitely had the foresight to involve me somewhat in his career as a child. He even took me down to night court when I was in kindergarten and let me watch proceedings, that he was involved in. And he also would talk to me about the future, about going on to college and going on to law school. And so before I was even in the first grade, he would have friends over and he'd say, well, Gail, why don't you tell them what you're going to be when you grow up?
And I would say, first grade.
Yeah. And so I would say, I'm going to be an attorney. So I wasn't always committed to being an attorney, but it was always in the back of my mind that might be something I would like to do. And I kept the door open by just studying, the right courses and maintaining a high GPA. So that would be an opportunity for me.
So was it the social justice part of law that attracted you, wanting to help people get out of bad situations?
Yeah. Definitely. I've always loved helping people.
Yeah.
And I'm just one of those people who likes everybody. I really like people and find them fascinating and enjoyable. And I do love solving problems.
Yeah.
And so that definitely was part of the attraction.
So in your family, in your world, school, were you exposed to drugs or alcohol? Did you understand at a young age or in your high school, college career that this was something that was going to hurt our society?
I did, absolutely. One of the things that really motivated me to be here today on Radio Rehab is that alcohol and you know, drug abuse and addiction has played a huge role in my life. Not that I have had alcohol and drug addiction, I haven't, but so many of my family members have. And I think that everyone needs to understand that it is in everyone's life, regardless mm-hmm. of their background, their education, whatever opportunities they've had or not had, even whether they've had a great life with every opportunity or, you know, had a really hard time, that is in every family. Mm-hmm. And it was certainly in mine. There are four children in my family, and I am the only one of those children who has not had an issue with drug and alcohol abuse. And I also had a grandfather who was an alcoholic. And so since I've been born, this has been part of my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that families do, and I know my family did this, is we put a happy face on everything, and we tried to pretend, you know, to ourselves and to the community that wasn't going on, you know, that we had the perfect, this is in the 60s, mm-hmm. The perfect family. And that's really detrimental because then you lose so much opportunity to share what you're learning about how to handle, you know, drug and alcohol abuse. And if you can't talk about it and you can't be honest about what's going on and you can't seek treatment,
that's true,
then you can't deal with the problem. And so I really was motivated to come today to talk with you, Lisa, because I just want everyone to know that even, you know, what you see, you know, you see me perfectly packaged on a television commercial for Girling Law, but the disease of drugs and alcoholism has been a huge part of my family and continues to be something that I have to deal with.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when we were talking before the show, you had said you luckily biologically escaped addiction, but not psychosocially and spiritually
right.
escaping addiction.
Right.
So mm-hmm. what your family did affected you, but you didn't have anybody to talk to about it, I guess.
Right. No, I didn't. And in fact, we've come so far in society in terms of just being open and honest
True.
And addressing this. But even when I was in college, one of the counselors, you know, was studying, a sociologist was doing a study and wanted to find students who had been involved, you know, with or had drug and alcohol addiction or whatever. And I said, oh, I volunteered for the study. I thought they'd want to talk to me. And they said, no, because you're not the one who has, you know, who's addicted. Or, you know, so even then, I didn't get an opportunity to talk to anyone because I wasn't abusing drugs and alcohol even. But yet, people in my family were.
See,
and
that was before Betty Ford,
me.
Before Sharon
Lechscheider right.
Cruz and Claudia Black
yes.
talked about how it affects the family.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're right. It was just the addict that,
yes,
that
that's
was
right.
the, addiction really has made us focus on the family.
Yeah, it has, and it is a family disease.
Yes.
And so just focusing on that one, you know, member of the family who's misbehaving
yeah.
is short-sighted because really what happens is you get a pattern in the whole family mm-hmm. where everybody in the family misbehaves.
Yeah, that's true.
And that, you know, is a lot of like where we cover up for the
yeah.
addict, you know, or we change our behavior to be kind of bizarre to counteract what they're doing.
Right. Balance.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah.
So, the homeostasis of the environment.
Right.
Did you realize very young in life that was going to have to be your role to kind of balance it all out by looking good, smiling,
sure.
good behavior?
Sure, I was the classic hero.
The hero child of the family.
I think I still am.
Yeah, there's one in every good addicted family.
We even have a joke in my family now that, you know, that I need to go rescue people.
That's a great thing to do. It just doesn't work with
yeah,
addiction.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't rescue them. And in fact, rescuing them often makes the problem worse.
Yeah.
It just delays the time when the addict has to, you know, has to deal with it themselves, has to really
Excellent.
Accept that it's their problem and they need to take action.
Well, it seems like you really had a good attitude about what you needed to do. You know, some kids get angry, some kids get depressed. It sounds like you got into your life, your friends, your studies, and made it work for you, not against you as a child.
Yes, and that is true. And
how'd you do that?
I think, yeah. I've given a lot of thought to that question. You're one of four children, and for some reason you don't end up down that road of addiction, you start thinking, well, what was different?
Like survivor's guilt. Yeah, I know, yeah. My sister has that.
Yeah, how did you
escape it? Right.
And a lot of my friends will ask me that as they get to know
it's a curious...
me, and they're like, what made you different? And there really are, I think, three things that I can identify. First and foremost,
that you think made it different for
made
you.
Made a big difference for me. The first one is faith. Mm. And I, for me, I've always been a Christian. And I've, in fact, been a very devoted and dedicated Christian since I was in the sixth grade.
What does that mean when people say they're a good Christian?
For me, it just meant that I believe in God and I've established a relationship with God and I rely on God.
And you said something, too, before I thought was interesting, besides just faith, which that word is so thrown out there,
right,
in prayer, to be a good Christian, do you also meant good behavior?
Yes.
That was very interesting that you tied it into behavior.
I did, because I really feel like when you have a relationship with God and or your higher power, mm-hmm, whatever your belief is, you want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were many points in my life, and I was not perfect in college. I don't want to.
Oh, come on, tell us on air.
No, I'm not Pollyanna.
You got drunk once, didn't you?
I surely did. And but anytime I was tempted down, those paths, I always came back to, I just don't think God's going to be very pleased with this, and this isn't really what God wants for my life. I think God wants more for me. I think He wants me to make a contribution.
That's awesome, because if you're familiar with the 12-step programs,
right,
we have to change our behavior to maintain a sobriety that keeps us connected to a higher power.
Right.
But you don't hear a lot of, you're the first one I've ever talked to that mentioned behavior linked to faith, know, and a relationship with God means being good.
Right. It does, but behaving
that.
Is... good behavior really comes from respecting authority. So there
and we alcoholics and addicts don't do that too well. So no wonder we needed AA to get there. You had it in fourth grade.
No, but that's really what that higher power is. It's just recognizing that, you're not the center of the universe, that not everything is about you or, what you need or how you feel or whether or not somebody treated you the right way. I do see a lot of, the members of my family who have addiction, they use a lot of "I didn't get treated right" or "life wasn't fair" as an excuse for.
That's a self-centered,
right,
stuck way to be, and AA doesn't want us to stay there.
That's
either.
That's right. But when you understand that there's just some authority out there who's greater than you,
right,
it does help you then structure your world in a way that you're not first.
Yes.
And that helps us all.
And you had that early in life, that belief and that faith.
I did, and I, and of course I need to be reminded every Sunday at church, because it's easy to, to slip out of that.
Yes.
And get self-absorbed. But, but I do think that was very important for me. And the other thing is just having that relationship, no matter what bad things happen to me, there's definitely a self-esteem component to it. If God created me, I'm meant for a special purpose.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So first is faith, second is self-esteem, staying confident.
It does.
Taking care of yourself in a good way.
And then this is a good segue into, one of my other points, which is just other adults outside of your family. Again, I just want to encourage and applaud people who fulfill this role for other young people. But I definitely had adults in my life, from my friends' families and teachers at school, who encouraged me. They would catch me doing the positive things. Mm. They would catch me doing well in school. They would
catching
me doing something right, and they would recognize it and they would praise me.
Mm.
And of course, we all love affirmation. We love to have people, and when we're more likely to continue doing those things.
Yes.
And so no matter what's going on in your home life, the fact that there's someone out there saying, I believe in you and you're doing the right thing and I know you can handle this, really means a lot to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time when I was in high school and my parents were going through a very bitter divorce, and my oldest brother was already heavily involved in addiction, and there was just a lot of chaos and stress in my family because of that.
And because of the divorce and the addiction?
And the addiction.
Oh, my goodness,
And who knows what role the addiction of my brother, how that might have even contributed to the divorce. But my home life was not very happy, and I was a little bit down at school, and this teacher pulled me aside, and he was a very faithful man, and he said, what's important for you to remember is that God keeps you innocent. Mm. And this is a hard concept to convey, but the idea is that with God, you can give these bad things to him, and then you can maintain an innocent heart. And that allows you to continue to love other people and be optimistic and move forward with your life.
Get rid of purity.
Yes, yeah. Well, and so that really resonated with me, that I wanted, that no matter what bad things, happened, that I wanted to be sure to forgive and to give those things to God and move on with my life. And that still helps me today. I mean, I still think about it. And I actually even had the pleasure of seeing this teacher again many, many years later. He traveled back to Evansville for a visit and looked me up. And I was telling him this, like, thank you for giving me these words of wisdom. They really helped me so much. And he's like, I don't even remember saying it.
So some adults just don't even know
that's
the seeds.
Right. And so, when you... Just everyone out there, if you are taking an interest in a young person and encouraging them, keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't know what compliment or what words of wisdom or what attention it is that you give them. But, kids who are in a tough situation, when you do that, makes it, they really are, they are listening and hanging on to your words, and they are going to resonate for them. And so keep it on in that area.
Keep it up, community.
Right, right.
Well, I think, too, that you said what helped you and for us to help maintain innocence in a person's spirit as long as we can help them keep their innocence.
Right.
Because addiction can definitely make everybody think they were ripped off.
Yes. Yeah.
So somebody said to you, gave you permission to stay innocent.
To stay
pure.
Innocent.
It wasn't
yeah.
your fault.
Yeah. That's
I meet
right.
a lot of kids that feel it's their fault or their responsibility to fix it. So it sounds like other adults encouraged you to stay true to you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Those sound like such simple things to pass on.
They are.
An addiction can certainly zap a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
you
maintained a good spirit through it all, Gail, and you still have a good spirit with all the stuff
do.
Because you have to see so much injustice as a lawyer and as the owner of Girling Law.
Right.
You deal with injustice every day, but something in your character keeps you positive.
Mm-hmm. And I get cynical.
I would get cynical with all that injustice.
I have my moments of cynicism.
But not, in your spirit, you stay good and forgiving.
Yeah,
and
I do. Well, I think forgiveness is the gift you give yourself.
Ooh, there's a thought. Yeah, it's more
That's
for us than the
say.
Person
it
we
really
forgive.
Is.
That's
it really
true.
Is. It lets us move on and not stay stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Well, Radio Rehab, we have got to make a minute for our sponsors, and not longer than a minute, Mr. Landers, because we got to get back here and have this incredibly great discussion with Gail Girling-Pettingo. We'll be right back.
It's your last chance. Ashley Furniture Home Store's first ever national sale and clearance is in its final week. $500 million in furniture at incredible prices. Queen beds from an unbelievable $299. Ashley sofas starting at $299. Five-piece dining rooms from just $399. Hurry in. $500 million in furniture at these prices won't last. The unprecedented national sale and clearance at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. The number one name in furniture.
With the kids back in school, now is the perfect time to think about your child's college savings. Paying for college takes planning, and it's never too early to start saving. That's where Indiana's College Choice 529 Savings Plan can help. The College Choice Plan provides tax benefits so your money goes farther and allows affordable contributions and extra ways to save, like rewards on purchases and gifting opportunities for family and friends to use through YouGift. Learn more now at collegechoicedirect.com. Saving little by little can really add up.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We are back talking to Gail Gerling-Penninga and having a great discussion about the things that has shaped Gail as a child, very affected by addiction by the people she loves. And we need to hear more about how it affects the family and how family members can do better in spite of what might be going on around them, especially an untreated addiction. So, Gail, thank you, number one, for your candor and your sincerity.
You're welcome. I want to share open and honestly and encourage everyone who's in a family or has a family member with drug and alcohol addiction to try to have that openness.
Kind of come out of hiding.
Right, yeah. And especially with people who really can help you.
Yeah. And, you know, in our 12-step programs, it's important to tell your story. That's very significant in AA and NA and all the 12-step programs. Maybe we need to have family members once in a while come in and share their kind of Alateen, Al-Anon stories with us too. So you went off to college, so you kind of got away from
right,
it all and
right.
went off to your, you started
yes.
to have your own life.
Yeah,
then what happened?
My dad calls that the geographical escape.
Oh, sure. They're wonderful, those geographical cures.
Just leave everybody and leave them behind. And I did. My husband and I met in law school.
Ah, so he's a lawyer too?
He's a lawyer too. He's by training, he's a financial advisor. He has a financial advising firm now.
I need to go to him.
I know.
I bet he's busy right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Do you think people can get addicted to money too?
Yes, I think you can get addicted to
about anything.
Just about anything.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
Anything you put first and foremost in your life is
when it becomes an obsession.
Yeah. So is that it's in the Bible where your treasure is, so will be your heart.
True.
You be careful what you value.
So he became your treasure.
Is that my
in
husband?
College? Yeah, you met him, and that became your new.
Yeah, you could certainly say that.
Sure.
We married between our second and third year of law school, and went to Indianapolis and set up our practices, and we were there for 8 years and had my first daughter and. Then I was pregnant with my second daughter, and my dad called, and he wanted me to come home to Evansville. He wanted to retire, and he wanted me to come home and take over his law firm.
Oh, my and, God, what an order.
I know. And I said, I was so flattered.
What an honor.
And then I hung up the phone and I called my husband and told him what had happened. And then I said, of course, I'll never do it. And you should never say you're never going
never
to do
say
something.
Never say never.
It's pretty certain you'll be doing it. And so, like, within the next month,
So your husband supported
it? He supported it. He had always wanted to start his own business. And this would be, a really good way for him to...
Come into a new environment,
start a business. And again, I can pull this back to the alcohol and drug addiction in my family. I had really decided that my foremost goal in life would be to break that...
Cycle,
yeah, thank you. The cycle of, addiction in my family, because I'd had a grandfather who was addicted, and then, you know, my mother was a child,
you know,
an adult child of an alcoholic, and had, you know, so many issues related to that. And then in my family, three of the four children, you know, had addiction. So I really, you know, wanted to do a good job of raising my children. And I felt like at the time I was working for a Fortune 500 company and I was traveling. You know, I was just gone a lot. And I felt like coming home would give me the flexibility to still
do what you love to
be
do.
A lawyer, which I wanted to, but also to just, you know, have more time with my family and, you know, just being in a smaller community.
And the roots, to have the roots. And
yes.
Familiarity, especially for your children. It's a great community to raise your kids in.
It is.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Everything is so close. And you really just don't meet a stranger in Evansville.
No,
that's one of the things I love about it.
I know, it's great.
And when people come and visit me here, they're always like, you know, why is the traffic, you know, they're slowing down and they're waving me in. Like people are even helping me get out of the parking lot. And I said, well, that's how Evansville is.
No doubt. You know? So you wanted to come in and root your family, but also saw an opportunity to do more of what you love to do.
Right.
Which is work with the community.
Which is work with the community. Yeah.
Second family.
That's right.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that what you did? Came back and got involved in girling law right off the bat?
I did. Yeah, I did. And I actually, let's see. I moved here when I was 32 weeks pregnant.
With your second?
With my second child.
Whoa.
I know. So, you know, started working right away.
And then had your second child.
And had my second child, yeah.
Good God, when do you find time for
Is
everything?
That,
a new
know,
business?
Well, you know,
family?
I actually get a lot of help.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to understand, nobody succeeds without a lot of help.
That's true.
Yeah,
we got to stay connected.
That's right. I have someone at Girling Law. Mark Burke is my office administrator, and he runs a lot of the show down there, administratively, so
well,
I don't
helps,
need to worry
it?
About those things. I can focus on being an attorney when
yes.
I'm there. And I have a lovely housekeeper babysitter named Tracy Fagans, and she helps
your
me.
Little nanny.
Yes. Well, the reason I also still have her, I haven't brought in this part of the story, but it'll be 4 years in October that my husband and I began raising my niece and nephew.
4 years.
Yes, and they came to live with us when they were, my niece had just turned 10, and a month later my nephew turned 9.
Wow.
And so they have lived with us for 4 years.
So you became parents
of a second family.
Wow.
Yeah, because God has a sense of humor.
Yes. And you and your husband have big hearts.
Well, that too. But we needed to do that because their father had died of a drug and alcohol addiction, and their mother was unable, also because of addiction, to care for them.
So you were able to and did.
Yes, yeah. And
4 years now.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
How did that affect your children and the dynamics of your...
It is tough. And that's why I'm always saying that, addiction and bad parenting are the gifts that keep giving.
Generation after generation after generation.
They do. You know, I worked really hard to, have a stable and quiet home life for my children. And
right.
Then, the jury is still out. They're doing really well. They're 19 and 16, but I don't have bragging rights yet on that, but they seem like really good girls.
Well, I don't know. If at 19 and 16, that's pretty good.
So, and so we really just felt like this
was
sort of
the
last chance with, with
my niece
and nephew.
Did you bring your kids into the decision of whether you would adopt these two children?
I did. And at the time, of course, they were like, yes, you have to. And then, in the throes of it,
until they moved in,
they're like, get them out of here. What are you thinking? Make them leave. So
then all the good old sibling dynamics came into the picture, right? We've been trying to figure that out since Adam and Eve's kids killed each other. So
that's right. But regardless of the hardship, and I would prefer my children not have that hardship. In a perfect world, they wouldn't. But I think it's very good for them.
It's the real world.
It's the real world.
This is real stuff that happens to people.
And you know, certainly I've lived the example for them of, you know, you have to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And when you're presented with, you know, that choice, you know, will you make a sacrifice to help other people? You know, and you can. Not everybody is in a position to do that, but my husband and I certainly were. We had room and we had the resources.
And room in your heart. There are a lot of people in the radio rehab audience that are being raised by aunties or grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. A lot of families.
It's not uncommon.
Right.
And in fact, I'll put a little plug in for girling law since we're talking about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about girling law.
Well, you may not realize, because we really are 90% personal injury law. I do have a family law attorney there. Her name's Stephanie Brinkerhoff Riley, and she's really very, very good at custodial issues, you know, divorce, all family, adoption, those issues.
Yeah, I don't think people would know that because of the personal injury focus of girling.
That's right. I had so many people calling me wanting referrals to family law attorneys.
Yes. I think I sent a couple people to you, actually.
Did, yeah. And
you said, no, sorry, we don't do it. But that was several years ago.
And and some of that may be, you know, just because I'm a woman and I, you know, people think I may have some keener insight into family issues. And so I did.
You definitely are an expert on family besides what you got at Smith and IU.
But anyway, I, you know, just found this, you know, young attorney who is really dedicated. And, you know, what's good about it is that, you know, because I've lived through these issues, you know, of bringing in a family member to raise, but someone outside of the family, and I know so many other people have, you know, grandparents are raising grandchildren, a lot of aunts and uncles are raising nieces and nephews. I just, you know, I feel like we do have a special insight into that at Girling Law.
Definitely.
And I know Stephanie has the legal side of it, and we do have the sensitivity to those issues and what the concerns are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not just legal issues connected with that. But.
And, you know, it's interesting. When I was working with your dad at Girling Law, I remember walking in there downtown, and there's just something of the atmosphere when you work into Girling Law. I was said hello to by everyone from the phone all the way till his secretary till I got back to him. It was like going through the Miss America pageant. You had to stop at all these little places before you got to your dad. But there was always a feeling, and maybe it's because I'm in recovery, I understood it. There was just a culture in that building of compassion, concern, and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It just does it still feel that way in there?
Yes, definitely. It's really like family.
It is. It really is.
And
it's more than just girling law.
Right, right. Well, and lawyers really see people at their
most painful place, like a social worker.
Right.
You really, it's a sacred trust.
It is. It is. And you really, there's just not a lot of judgment.
Right.
Going on down at Girling Law.
Right.
You know, judgment of people and their behavior. I mean,
yeah.
You know, obviously we're making judgments legally and presenting options, but
the people that walk in your building don't feel that way, that's for sure.
People are people, and we understand that, and we all make mistakes. And
And I found it very, you know, a lot of people think, oh, my God, Girling Law, that huge chandelier of Girling Law on the walkway. Who could really access and afford that? But you walk in there, and that isn't even an issue. It's like anybody can go in there and get help, whether they
want
it or not.
Everyone there is there because it's what they love to do, and they love to help people.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Wow. And
so now you're in the family law world too.
You know, a little bit. Stephanie's in it in a big way.
Yeah,
the rest of us
are
still doing all personal injury law, but. But it is nice to have that added service
need. It fills a need.
There is that need. And Stephanie is a wonderful attorney. And
that's good to know.
Yeah,
we need
and she's
to know
running.
She's there.
She's running for city council.
What's her name?
Stephanie Brinkerhoff Riley for the 3rd Ward.
Wow.
Yeah.
Need
so
to
be
remember
sure,
that.
Remember that and be sure and vote for her.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Do you think, before we take our next break, real quickly, do you think a lot of family law and a lot of personal injury law, if you get to the root of what's going on, there were drugs or alcohol involved?
Oh, definitely in family law.
In
I think there
law.
Are a lot of, you know, I think drugs and alcohol put a real stress on the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and primarily because people don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
And you know, if the mother and the father are each taking a different tact, mm-hmm. I mean, that it doesn't help the addicted child.
No.
You know,
and it
it's very
help the
destructive.
Family.
You know, and I've seen this, you know, where one parent will be, oh, I'm going to love them. We just need to love them. We need to love them
love
more.
Love them into health.
We need to,
like that works with
you
cancer,
know,
too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other parent might say, well, I think we need to take a hard line. And
mm-hmm.
you can just see the conflict. Or they might get into blaming each other. And
yeah.
they really need to understand, you know.
It splits a marriage.
It does. And the person who's using is making choices. And, you know, you...
Definitely.
And there's proof in every family. You know, you'll end up with one who's addicted, you know, and all
yeah.
the other ones will go on with their lives. So,
yeah. Or the family will get them into
right.
rehab, support them,
right.
but then they still choose to go back
That's
even
right.
after they're
it's
clean.
It's just hard, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I think people need to stay out of the blame game.
Right, right.
But I do think my experience with substance abuse has helped me because sometimes I will have someone come in on a personal injury case and I am able to say to them, you know, it seems to me that, you know, you may have a drug and alcohol issue here. And
wow.
and then they'll admit that to me. And it's important because the attorney really needs to know every aspect of,
mm-hmm.
you know, of your case and in order to prepare the best case for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
it's not something we're real easy talking
right,
about yet
right.
in our society,
yeah.
especially
People
to a lawyer.
People might suspect it but not talk about it.
yeah,
I've definitely
yeah.
been able to... you know, talk with people about that. If they've been in an accident but they were drinking or they have
mm-hmm.
a greater issue, you know, we've been able to, you know, discuss that and then prepare their case, knowing
mm-hmm.
that may be part of what's found out in the future.
Sure. And
yeah.
I think you opening that door and asking
right.
helps. People want to talk about
they
it,
do.
I think.
They do.
If they feel safe.
It can be done in a respectful way.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then they don't need to... They don't go on feeling like they need to, as I say, happy face it and hide it. And
or that
like
you're their lawyer
there.
And they have a secret.
Yes.
And, oh, my gosh, what if
right.
this comes out?
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and again, just talking about being a lawyer, you know, everyone should know that lawyers are, everything you say to your lawyer is in confidence.
Yes.
And they are not able to go and disseminate that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Outside. And frankly, we've heard it all, and it's probably not all that interesting to us at that point.
True, true.
So,
that
yeah.
confidentiality
yeah.
is important.
It is
that
very,
they know that
to have that, you know, to have that good relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, I interview a lot of people and do assessments for a lot of people coming into the drug court program, mm-hmm. and they're so afraid to be honest in an assessment. And I'm like, if you're honest with me, I can try to help make the best recommendation to the judge. If you're not honest with me, but I understand they're afraid this is going to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to decide, well, which parts of this assessment should I pass on and should I not? It's a tough call sometimes,
right.
but when you're trying to protect somebody, mm-hmm. it's important that they feel that way
right.
and know that you are going to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do. I think the first step in overcoming addiction is being honest.
Yeah.
And I think when you're looking at the 12-step program, that's a big part
that's
of it.
That's step
know,
one, definitely.
Is really to admit, what have I done wrong? Who have I wronged? You know?
But, you know, maybe when we come back and in our closing talk, it all goes back to faith. And if I
yes.
don't have faith up there to God, maybe I can at least have faith with somebody at Girling Law or somebody that's a counselor or somebody in that treatment program.
That's right.
Start somewhere with faith.
Right. I agree.
That's the key. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We will be right back. We just have to take a few minutes with our sponsors. And don't forget, you can call in with any questions, 424-1400. We have Gail Girling Pettingo with us today for an interesting conversation. We will be right back.
WEOA, the most diverse radio station in the tri-state, is proud to announce two new exciting programs for our Hispanic friends in the community. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 12:30 to the new 24/7 Dad's Hispanic program in Spanish, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center. The half-hour show discusses life skills, parenting, and a host of other relevant topics. Conexion Thalia Radio Show. Thalia is a platinum-selling recording artist, internationally known, and nationally syndicated radio host. This popular two-hour weekly program comes to Evansville by way of WEOA every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 2 p.m. Thalia discusses music, fashion, and entertainment. See you this Sunday at noon for the Conexion Thalia Radio Show, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center.
Small Biz Web Solutions. We specialize in customized websites from scratch for small and medium-sized businesses and other organizations. We pride ourselves on offering quality services at competitive cost. SBWS will meet your custom website needs to provide you with the necessary functions. We will assist you with everything you need to start a website, from hosting and domain names to the content of your site. We will be there every step of the way to advise and explain the process. We are Small Biz Web Solutions, LLC. Give us a call today at 812-228-1034. That's 812-228-1034, or visit our website at sbws-llc.com.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We are back talking to Gail Gerling, who is just a lot of fun, as well as passionate about every single thing she does from start to finish in a day. So now, in our last minutes, I ask Gail to talk to us about now at this place in her life, where she is and what her vision is for herself and for her community. It's obvious she considers her community her family too, so I wanted her to just share with us some things she's doing in that area and what your vision is now for taking that safety mission of yours out into the world.
It's kind of a watershed year for me. In August, my husband and I were married 25 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and in December, I will turn 50.
Oy.
Oh, yeah.
Oy. December
half
what?
Half a century under my belt, December 21st.
Oh, my God, because I'm December 27th.
Are you really?
So
no wonder we're so much alike.
Yes. Wow. Well, happy 50th and 25th.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
God, your whole life you've been in relationships.
Yes, yes.
Ooh.
Well, I think that's what makes human beings what they are.
I agree.
You know, we're so striving for relationships. And,
yes.
And in the end, that is what fulfills us and makes us happy.
Yeah.
And,
but so fortunate for you, you always had this relationship with God. That's where I think
have.
We're so broken in our world. But anyway, that could be a whole other subject. What's Gail
Gerling
Pettiga's vision now? To keep God in the center,
right.
I'm sure.
Keep God in the center. And I wanted to have a happy marriage with my best friend.
Aww.
And I wanted to raise happy and competent children. And of course, I'm still working on that. That's never done.
They're your babies till they're 99.
Right. That's right. And of course, I have my niece and nephew now. So of course, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a big part of my life has been that I want to create and make a contribution. And I have, I just find myself at age almost 50, to really be in a position to do that. And you start out, when you're young, and I want to be a writer, too. I'm planning on doing a lot of writing, and I would sit around and say, but what could I write about, And I find now, after 50 years, I have a ton of things. Now I have too many things to write about.
Yes. You better do it now.
I need to get going on this. I just find as you get older, you have more connections.
That's another C word.
You know what you don't know, and you know who to call to find out what you need to know.
Yeah.
And you just sort of learn like who's good at different things that you're not good at, and you learn what you're good at and what you're not good at,
right.
What your limitations are and what your gifts are. And I have found that through Gerling Law I've been able to create a platform for giving back to the community. And that's been something that's been really important and always in my practice. Even the first 8 years when I was in Indianapolis, I was always volunteering and doing things. And I kind of, I have another joke with my friends, which is that I need to get up every morning and look in the mirror and say no 3 times.
Oh, I know. Isn't that the truth? They call that codependency,
yeah,
that takes somewhere.
I know.
Oh, well. We'll
and
write
then,
the book Codependence
right.
some more.
Then I might have a chance of saying no when people ask me to do something.
You say no, but it's spelled K-N-O-W.
Well, thank you.
Different kind of no,
right,
tell them.
Right. But I have tried to do, to have balance, because I want to do well in my law practice, and I want to certainly do right by my family, but a big part of what I enjoy is doing things for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always tried to do it in a significant way, not to say yes to too many different things, but when I do say yes, to make a significant contribution. And I think one of the things we've done at Girling Law that I'm very proud of is our great helmet giveaway.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Keep
and
safe.
It's
safe.
Yeah,
safety
it's
thing.
Safety. And that really came up, came about because, the economy has been so rough lately.
Yeah.
And people have to make such tough choices about what to do with their money. And, a lot of it's just, I need to buy some clothes for my children, or I've got to get some food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that, people might have to choose not to buy a bicycle helmet for their kids. And so we have really committed ourselves to giving away bicycle helmets to every child in the tri-state community who needs one.
That's great.
And
today, so you've been doing that for how long?
Oh, 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
And we've given away over 5,000 helmets.
My God.
And we started out, we did it so with great gusto. We did a two-day giveaway down at our office, and then we traveled to many, many daycares and preschool programs and to, like, in the Joshua Academy and a lot of the school programs that were going on during the summer. And then and we go to National Night Out.
Yeah.
And then we got hooked up with Dave Schutte. And I don't know, do you know Dave? He's just wonderful.
So.
He's part of the Evansville School Corporation. And he has he works with the Parks and Recreation Department in the summer. Through the EVSC, they have a summer program.
Mm.
And the kids who participate in that and are leaders in the program, he gets bicycles for them. They're, with their counselors, they pick and choose those outstanding kids in the program and reward them with a bicycle. And they are now giving away over 200 bicycles every summer. And we provide all of the helmets for that.
That's incredible. So that's a real safety
yes.
and a contribution to the community.
Yeah, it is. And it's just really fun. And we go, we fit the helmets. And we love National Night Out, so we go do that every year. And everyone in Girling Law participates.
Mm-hmm.
All the attorneys, the paralegals, legal
everybody events, gets excited about those helmets.
Everybody does.
And all those children.
Everybody fits the helmets, and it's just, it's just really fun.
And that definitely helps a lot of the minorities in the community that,
mm-hmm.
that are underemployed or unemployed or
right,
having such
right.
economic hardships. It helps them know they can go somewhere and get something to help their children
it's just
stay
something.
Safe.
You don't have to make a choice.
Yeah.
You're not making a tough choice.
Do you all do that all the time? Like if somebody called Girling Law, they could get
do.
A helmet?
We always have some extras.
Yeah.
And so even, outside of, giving away the helmets, if you call and let us know. And especially as we're approaching the summer,
mm-hmm.
because that's when we order them, we order a huge shipment. They fill up our garage and our basement.
Yeah.
We can barely get in there. And if you call, anyone can call and say, we're going to need some helmets or we're participating, in this way. We'll save them some helmets.
Just call Girling Law.
Just call Girling Law and you can talk to Diane Shirley.
Okay.
She's our receptionist, and
see,
she will set you up. And
we'd like a helmet next
summer
for sure.
We'd like a helmet. You can just schedule a time to come in and hopefully I'll be there. If I'm there, I'll come down and say hi and fit the helmet.
Wow.
If not, someone else will do it. But yeah.
So if people call you,
yes,
you try to, if
we,
you can't help them, get them somewhere they can get help.
Yes, absolutely. All the time.
Yeah.
And that's in every legal, if you have a legal question, it's not something we do. If you call, we will try to, refer you to someone who can help.
So you're kind of a gatekeeper, too.
I hope we are.
Yeah.
I hope we are. We do Social Security disability.
Wow, and that's going to be a new big thing, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, and Sherry Seymour is our case manager,
mm-hmm.
and she really will do a lot of, she's just very up-to-date on resources, you know, because when people have been out of work because of a disability and they've not qualified yet for Social Security disability, you know, they may have a lot of, you know, great financial needs, and she does have a list of different community, you know, agencies and things that she can give the phone numbers to.
God, Gail,
like
I should
that.
Have you come so, back and talk a whole show
yeah.
about that. I don't know
yeah.
if people even understand there's something like that
right.
out there to access
yeah.
to help them
yeah.
economically if they're on disability.
Yeah, there definitely is. If you have, you know, have huh. had a good working life and you become disabled and you can't work, you know, there is definitely Social Security disability out there through the government to pay for that.
That's good
and,
to know.
You know, you don't have to wait until you've been denied multiple times.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can give
Sherry. Do certain things constitute
Sherry
a disability?
Sherry a call and she'll talk you through it.
Even if it's mental
there
health?
Is,
or?
There is mental health. And, again, mm. sometimes it's hard to get qualified for that because
right.
of so many mental health issues, yes, are
yeah.
tied into drug and alcohol
yeah.
addiction. And so
yeah.
there's, but.
Some gray areas there.
Right, right. But, you know, we're well versed in that, and we've had some success. You know, if we can get it done, we'll get it done.
Right,
you know,
right.
Take it to the hearing and get that taken care of.
So wow, you're a friend. You're mm-hmm. a woman. You're a mother. You're a sister. You're oh my God, a
yeah.
wife. You're a lawyer. You've got a lot of different hats. What now? You're turning 50. Do you see? As some of the things you would really like to focus on at this
right.
point in your life?
I do have a few charitable things I'm focusing on I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
I hope we have enough time.
We do. We
okay.
have about 4 minutes.
Oh, I'll have to
So you're sticking with your C's, community, create, contributions,
right, right,
connections,
right,
and charities.
Right. Well, actually, I'll put a plug in for my blog that I've got going. It's called Cooking Up Justice.
Cooking Up.
Yeah.
C-O-O-K-I-N?
Yeah, you got to drop that G because I'm cooking.
Cooking.
Not cooking.
Oh.
I'm cooking up justice. .com
Justice.
And I will be blogging about many of the things that are going on in the community, you know,
wow.
that are going up with various social, you know, charitable groups
yes.
And just things I'm interested in and involved
Cooking
in.
CookingUpJustice.com.
It's Cooking Up Justice. So I'll have some of that so you can certainly,
We
know,
will all look
check
that
into
up today.
That. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I, and you know, and I said justice because I just feel that justice is viewing all human beings as equal.
Yes.
And needing to have the equal opportunity and being treated mm. with fairness and courtesy. And so,
God, you're
you know,
talking at the right radio show today, then.
That's right. So, you know,
it's
when,
all
I,
about justice.
When I have my girling law hat on, I'm pretty much talking about, you know, the law.
Sure.
But Cooking Up Justice gives me a chance to branch out and talk about many other issues that, you know, just things I know about, people I know about that
things
I'm passionate
about,
that I care about, that,
right.
that I want to share with the community. But one of the other charitable things that I'm really committed to this year is getting a Gildas Clubhouse to Evansville.
Gildas Clubhouse?
Yes, and it's for the tri-state area. And people, I'm not sure how much they know about it, but this is a place for people who, for the family and friends and people, of people who have cancer and the people who have cancer. It's people who are in remission, who have survived cancer, or who are going through cancer now, but all of their families and friends, and it's a place for psychosocial
wow.
support.
Wow.
So it's not a medical treatment facility, but it's really a place to go and have activities. It's for children. It's for teenagers.
Wow.
And it's to go, and there will be counselors there, and it helps everybody deal mm-hmm. with cancer. And
that's
we
awesome.
And we've not made everything public yet. But if you want to learn more about it, there's you can Google Gildas Club Evansville, and look it up and read about it. And we have not made a public announcement about where we're going to have our clubhouse. But I do I want everyone on the radio and part of this program to know that we are going to have a very key location near the downtown
mm-hmm.
because we want it to be in a neighborhood that's accessible for everybody. It will be on the bus line, you know,
exciting.
But also accessible off of the expressway and 41 for people who are coming, you know, from Jasper and Owensboro and Henderson.
So it's a Ronald McDonald House extraordinaire.
Yes.
For the whole family.
You don't go and spend the night there, but yes, you definitely go and have activities. There's cooking classes.
Support.
They'll have yoga classes and crafts.
That's exciting.
But it'll all be, you know, centered around programming, where we'll have counselors that really help people deal with the loss or the struggle, you know, of suffering from cancer,
sure,
or just, you know, being a family
resource
member or
center.
A friend.
Wow.
You know. So
that is
very excited
Thank
about
you.
That, and I hope I'll be able to come back and
You've
tell
got
everyone
to.
More about
no,
that.
No, we need to have
when
you
we
back.
Can make all of our announcements public.
Oh, we need to have you back regularly.
Yeah, thank you.
You could be our little lawyer helper.
Cheerleader for Evansville.
Yes, and for family and for community.
Family,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for inviting me on.
I really appreciate everything you're doing, and I know I speak for the Landers that own this station and all the people listening. We need more Gail Gerling Pettigas out there. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
All right.
Thanks, okay,
Lisa.
Radio station, this has been an incredibly wonderful interview. Hope you hear it again online. If not, I guarantee you we'll have Gail back. And don't forget, between now and next Saturday, to do the next right thing.